Hi, this is Anita Noland from Lake Stevens, Washington. And my story for RVing is after 40 years, I reconnected with my high school sweetheart and about 3 years ago. And we purchased our first RV last year, and retirement is about a year away. And we plan on RVing and camping and fishing and traveling this great country together. That's our story. Thank you. Bye.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes, and also Sweet Maggie the camping dog.
You can read about our adventures at RVFTA.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are talking to Steph and James Adanero from the Fit RV about all the ways we are going to stay healthy on the road this year. RVing is tons of fun, but it can also challenge the fitness routines of even the most dedicated folks.
So Steph and James are going to help us get through those long driving days without doing too much damage to our bodies. They are also giving us amazing tips for easy campground workouts and healthy but still yummy foodie advice.
You might think it's impossible to take those great healthy habits on the road when you go RVing, but we know a good coach can help us get a game plan in place. You are listening to episode number 219, Staying Healthy on the Road with the Fit RV.
Before we head into this week's featured topic, staying healthy on the road with the Fit RV, we need to thank Anita, don't we?
Oh, yeah. Thank you to Anita, and thank you to everybody that's been calling in and leaving those lovely voice messages that we're kicking off the show with. We really appreciate it, and we love bringing your voices
onto the
podcast.
Makes us feel like we're DJs from the 1960s doing a call-in show.
You can keep calling in, keep leaving us your messages. We're going to switch up the topic at some time in the future and have you leave messages on something else.
We love hearing the listener voices, though. Like, we're totally into it. It's, like, fun for us, and we are definitely going to keep it going in future seasons. All right, we're going to kick off this episode with another great camping activity that pairs really well with RVing, because so many really fun hobbies do pair well with RVing. But before we do that, we need to thank all of our sponsors. A big thank you to Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's, to Thetford, to Jellystone, to Jayco, and a big thank you to Truma.
For keeping us warm in that camper. Truma has been the leading European supplier for RV accessories for over 70 years, and they pioneered caravan heating in Europe in 1961. And all RVers should thank their lucky stars that Truma came over to America in 2015 with the fantastic and revolutionary AquaGo, which offers truly instant, constant, and endless hot water. It replaces other tankless or 6 to 16 gallon hot water heaters, and you will never regret the investment.
You won't, and it's worth every penny.
Well, and James and Steph love their Truma,
James
too.
James and Steph, that is so true.
they're big
James
Truma
and Steph
fans.
Got us excited.
Yes,
about it
they did,
ago.
And that was one of the reasons why I knew that we had to have it, because
James
they rave
Steph,
about it.
James and Steph always demand endless hot water when it's time for a shower.
Yes, it's in their riders, right? Head over to Truma.com to learn more about the AquaGo, and we will definitely be stopping by the Truma booth at RVX, and we're going to be seeing Steph and James at RVX. Too much fun stuff. So we'll see what everybody's up to out there in Salt Lake City.
Do you
City.
Remember the last time we saw James and Steph from the Fit RV?
Was it in Tampa?
They... All of a sudden, we were riding a golf cart through the RV show, and all of a sudden, two people were running towards us and leaped onto the back of it.
And the boys were like scared.
Yeah, it was like a superhero move on their part.
But the boys now like have never forgotten them.
And we don't recommend you do this to your friends on golf carts. Steph and James can do it. They're fit enough to run and leap onto your golf cart.
Now, another thing that Steph and James both do is bike a lot. Like, they're serious bike fanatics, riders.
They go
right?
all over the world and do it.
And so I thought that it'd be a nice little topic to open up the show with, since we've been talking about hobbies and activities that really pair nicely. It's almost this natural, easy pairing with RVing and camping. And biking has been really amazing for our family over the years. And we've done some things right, and we've done some things wrong.
We've done plenty of things wrong, actually. Yeah. Like, we've really had, I mean, we love it. And in a sense, I really think it could emerge as our second favorite family activity while we camp next to hiking. But we've had a little bit of a mixed history with biking while we RV.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, the biggest mistake that we have ever made is not getting properly outfitted to enjoy the hobby. Because what happened was we always loved bike riding, but because we didn't want, I was a little bit of a skinflint and you were not paying attention. You know, like you'll always get on board of a purchase, but you just really weren't into the trailer, the bike trailer thing. And because we had twins, we never went out and bought a bike trailer. And I really regret that.
We just kind of waited it out.
Yeah, because now that I think about it, this stuff is used out there on Craigslist and garage sales. And I've learned over the years, get the right equipment to have fun with your kids.
Can I make a comment about that, though? Like, I think you're totally right. We should have bought the bike trailer. But bringing the bike trailer in the RV, I think, might have been a mixed bag. Because
I would have loved it.
I think it's big, for one thing. And also, when you go on an RV trip, you're going to end up in a lot of places that you're unfamiliar with, and I'm not sure that the trailer would be perfect for a lot of those places.
Well, we wouldn't have off-roaded, and it was the same thing with the Bob stroller, is that we didn't like go places that were sketchy with the double Bob jogging stroller, but what we learned was that $600 investment into that stroller paid off in spades over the course of those years. Like the things we were able to do with the kids because we had a stroller that was rugged and could kind of handle it, really we had so much more fun because of that. And I think the same is true with bikes. And then when our older two were old enough that they were riding bikes and we wanted to be more adventurous with that, we finally ponied up and got the Thule bike seat for him. And we use that endlessly. So, you know, think about if we had had seats for the boys or the trailer for the boys when they were young, we would have been on bikes all the time.
Really nice being able to like throw Wesley on the bike and go up to the camp store or whatever it might be. We did get a lot of use out of that Thule.
Now, I'm big on learning from my past mistakes. And I actually have a game plan already for this year because what's happened is now our older two are really capable of riding a little bit more on their bikes. They can go the distance. They can do a little, you know, uphill, downhill a little bit more. But Wes is still at a younger age and he can't do that. So what I'm going to do this year is, because he is independent on two wheels, I'm going to get one of those bike tow bars so that I can put him on, you know, tow him pretty much on my bike and we'll all be able to do family bike rides together.
So we can sell the Thule. Still in perfect
shape.
That's
exactly.
The thing with that Thule stuff, man. That is in perfect shape still. We could sell it or give it to somebody.
So in addition to me saying my one biggest piece of advice is to go and get a piece of used equipment and just have fun with your kids and don't do what we did and say, oh, well, we'll just kind of put the bikes aside for a little while until they're big enough to do that. You know, I mean, I think that we lost out until our older two were finally old enough to be independent. We were like, this is so much fun. And we had a lot of great camping experiences with our bikes.
You're also kind of bringing up my favorite thing about the toy hauler. And I, you know, definitely we've both talked about how in the future we might want something smaller, but I have to give a shout out to the toy hauler. I mean, bringing five bikes takes up a lot of space for most people, and it's kind of difficult and challenging to figure out how to rack them, how to store them. Toy hauler takes that issue off the table. It's so easy for us to pack the bikes.
Yeah. And that's my second, you know, tip after buying used and just getting the equipment that you can. I would also say invest in proper racks for transportation, whatever that is. And for everybody, it's going to be something different, right? So for some people, they put them on the A-frame on the front of the camper. Some people put them in the back of the truck. Some people put them in the RV. Figure out what works. Invest the time in figuring that out and know how you're going to get your bikes from A to B, because that will stop you in that experience of biking with your kids, which I think is a really great experience to have.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I can't wait to do more bike riding with them, both at home and at the campground. We're going to some really good places this year for bringing the bikes, that's for sure.
And then my last tip is something that I did right. And when I learned from the older boys, when we had Wes, I got him a balance bike for his second birthday. And it was a Strider balance bike, and that was the most amazing thing in the world. When finally he was 4 or 5, when he was ready to just do two wheels on a regular bike with pedals, It took me about 10 minutes to teach him how to ride.
Those Strider bikes are amazing. And they turn, it's funny, they turn heads at the campground.
Yeah, everybody loves watching the little kids zip by. Like the older people walking by,
I was like, where are the pedals?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That, I'm so glad that I got that Strider bike for him. And it just was amazing.
That's another well-made piece of equipment, mm-hmm. too.
Along oh, with the it bob. Lasted for, I guess, probably about 3 years of heavy yeah. use. And he just could zip around on that. And he could feel like he could keep up with his brothers, too, which was a great thing about that. Of course, we'd never bring him on the Strider bike, like on a bike trail, you know, a longer bike trail. That was when he went in the seat.
Biking, you know, you're making me think about it more and more. Like, biking is a tough activity when the kids are at different ages and ability levels. And I mean, so is hiking, but we really overcame that and nailed that. And I think now it's time to finally do that with biking. Now, we didn't tell everybody what kind of bikes we have because we all actually have the same brand. And I think mm-hmm. that, I mean,
I think it's actually what Steph and James have too, because we talked about
it. Oh, is it really? Yep. Mm-hmm. We all, the five of us all have Trek bikes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I shouldn't say that. Wesley does not have a
Trek bike. Wesley doesn't have a Trek bike.
The four of us have Treks.
Right. And the older two. And he'll get his Trek bike when he gets to be the size where you can get the really nice quality Trek bike for youth. So we have a local bike shop that we really like to support. They're so great with fitting kids. And they sell Trek. And you can go in. They'll get you the perfect size. They'll let them test them around the back. And they actually did our seat install for Wesley and everything. So we really love building a relationship with a local bike shop.
Max and Theo's bikes are awesome.
Yeah, they're
and
great.
They use them every day,
mm-hmm.
Except when it gets really cold in the winter.
Yeah, they're at about year two with this size Trek.
Kids mm-hmm. that age beat up gear. I mean, I'm not saying my kids are irresponsible with their bikes, but they beat up their bikes and those Trek bikes.
You're not saying they're irresponsible. They get left in the driveway.
Well, I was covering for the boys.
No, let's not.
You know what? If it gets left in the driveway one night out of 100.
It's like a rite of passage for kids to leave their bikes.
Let's be honest about our children. Do they leave them out in the driveway every night? No, it happens occasionally.
Yes. And it's duly noted.
What I love about having Steph and James on the show, and this is their third time on the show, is it's totally different every time. Like, all of the stuff they're going to talk about on this episode blew me away. I mean, they really have just very practical, actionable tips and tricks that any of us can implement. It's not like they're asking you necessarily to change everything about your lifestyle in terms of healthy eating, healthy traveling, being physical. Just take a couple of their tips and implement them into your life. I really think there's some game changers in this interview.
All right, we're going to have a good time talking with Steph and James, so stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are always excited when we have James and Steph Adonero from the Fit RV on the show. This is their third time on the podcast, and we can't get these guys on enough. We love having them on. They are absolute rock stars to us. And they're going to be talking about, in the first segment, staying healthy while traveling. They're going to be talking about eating healthy. They're just going to give you so much great information on
being
healthier this year.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. We basically invited them on to give us our pre-camping season pep talk for ourselves.
Yeah,
and everybody else just gets to listen in.
Make me feel really bad for the entire time. But before we dive into this great interview with James and Steph, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's.
Bass Pro and Cabela's, they have everything you need to get into the great outdoors with your family. And if you're ready to stock up for spring camping season, we definitely have our list of favorite products, including the outdoor kitchen and, of course, zero gravity camping chairs. But they also have plenty of gear for staying active in the great outdours. And we think the Ascent. I did. I did. I feel like we had to show off and say, no. We do things outdoors, right? Like the Ascent kayak line is really great for every level of kayakers out there. Remember to grab those paddles and life jackets too. So you can get ready for your next family camping adventure at BassPro.com and Cabela's.com. It's in your nature. Hello and welcome back to the show, James and Steph.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Hey, we're so excited to be here.
Oh,
well, I don't know if I live up to that intro.
Oh, you can, and you do every single time. And I'm kind of not joking. This is something that, you know, I think for Jeremy and I always say I live such a healthy life at home, and I'm like semi-healthy. once we're RVing. Do you find that's the case for a lot of people that you come across?
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the reasons why we started the Fit RV blog and website years ago.
Yeah, we talk about the vacation mindset a lot, that when we're home, we're great with our discipline and our routines and keeping fit focused. But once we hit the road, it's like this free fall. We're on vacation and we don't need to be healthy. And so we like to give a lot of tips for kind of keeping your vacation mindset, but kind of balancing it more so you are keeping fit focused and having fun.
Right, because you can you actually have more fun when you feel better. And that's what I notice myself. Like, even the littlest things, like drinking water, like I do that no problem at home, and I get in all of the ounces that I need to get in on a daily basis at home. And then we hit the road and I'm like, I don't even think I had any water today. And it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's just the littlest things that throw me off. So I know if I feel that way, I bet a lot of people out there do. And we could all listen to a good pep talk from you guys on this topic. So thanks for helping us out.
Absolutely.
All right. So the first thing that we're going to talk about is those long traveling days, right? Because I think that is where we first get thrown off a lot of the time, right? RVers love a good road trip. We all pile in our RVs. We hit the road. We're having so much fun. But that's where that vacation mindset creep starts.
Yes. And a lot of people will do this thing where they'll get in the car or the RV in the morning and they want to push on and they want to go and get there as quick as possible. But one of our very first tips is something that's called rest stop recharges. And that has to do with stopping more frequently and making the drive be part of the journey and the fun and the vacation.
Right. So the rest stop recharge, we try to tell people to stop every 2 hours or so.
At least.
And when you do that, get like 15 minutes of physical activity. Now, it could be like jumping jacks and push-ups or something. That'd be great, but it doesn't have to be.
Yeah, it can just be a brisk walk around the rest stop where you're stopping.
Right, but we like to make it even more fun than that, right? We'll use like websites and apps like Roadside America, stuff like that. And it'll be things like, you know, we'll find the largest ball of twine in the Midwest kind of a thing.
Yeah. So we use these apps like Roadside America to plan ahead. Before we even hit the road, we will plan stops at least every 2 hours along our route to see something silly. Like, what else have we seen?
Human skin shoes.
Yeah. Shoes made out of human skin. That was a little strange.
I'm so grossed out right now.
Sounds like something in South Dakota.
Oh,
yes. Wyoming, actually.
Yeah. Close.
But planning out stops like that, it makes it not a chore. Because if you tell yourself you've got to stop every 2 hours and get 15 minutes of exercise, that's kind of a downer. It makes it sound like a chore. But yes, by planning stops that are fun, amusing, then you're looking forward to getting out of the vehicle.
Yeah, and something happens once you get in the car after that you've done your 15 minutes of activity and you've seen something. You're in this mindset like, where's our next stop? This is cool and exciting. Instead of, when are we going to get there? When is the end of this journey? You're more concerned of where the next stop is taking you.
And you're stopping at these fun roadside attractions as opposed to stopping at places where you can go buy junk food, mm-hmm, right? I mean, you're not just stopping to pull over and go into the rest stop and buy chips. You're stopping at a place where you probably will need to walk around.
Right. And that's a good lead in, I guess, to our second big tip for keeping a drive healthy. And that's our don't eat and drive rule. And if you think about it, if you're eating actually while you're driving, it's probably not because you're hungry, but it's probably because you're just bored. Right.
And that's kind of that mindless eating. We'll do that if we're at home watching a movie. You know how you just keep eating and you forget to stop eating. And so if you avoid eating when you're driving along the road, you're going to avoid unnecessary overeating.
Right. And the other thing that does is it makes it a whole lot more likely you're going to stop every 2 hours and get out of the vehicle and get some activity.
Yes, because you're eating during your rest stop recharge time. So,
yeah. Well, the movie comparison is so interesting too, because I mean, like, okay, God forbid you sit there munching for an entire movie. A movie's 2 hours. But if you're in a 10-hour car drive, like, there's some real danger that you could just be eating for hours.
Well, I discovered that early on that I found like you go to snacks to kind of help manage your kids in the car. And then what I was realizing is that like I would be giving them more junk food than they would normally get at home. And here I am trying to manage their behavior, but I'm also giving them food that's setting off really like hyperactive behavior. And I was, you know, doing the exact opposite of what I was trying to accomplish. So it didn't take me too long to figure out that that wasn't the best thing for at least my kids.
Yeah. And then the kids will learn that habit too. So if food is not an option for the hour and a half you're on the road, they get used to only having the snacks when they're stopped too. So it's good for the whole family that way.
And the Class B doesn't get dirty and filled with nasty food. Yes. It's like a total perk.
It is. That is so gross. Yeah, how the food makes just everything disgusting in the car anyway. Now, your next tip was super interesting to me because we regularly go to our chiropractor and he's so funny. He's actually like, he like listens to our podcast and everything. And he'll be like, so you've been on the road and I can tell.
Shout out to Dr. Mike, yeah. Who by the way, wants a Class B.
He does. He's dying for a Class B. So I'll tell him that on this episode, we have Class B.
Yeah, we got to tell him, check out the Fit RV.
Yeah.
If he hasn't already.
But it does a number on our bodies.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And this has to do with proper driving posture. So when you're on the road, like you said, if it's a 10-hour road trip, that's a long time to be in a seated position. And if you've got to be in a seated position in that long of time, your seat needs to be properly set. So our next tip has to do with how to set up your seat for driving.
Yeah. And it's super important because you would never at home sit in one position basically right. for 10 hours. You just wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
And so if you're going to put that kind of unusual stress on your body, you've got to make sure that the seat is set up as best as it can be.
Right. And we can go over some of those tips. We also have them on our website on thefitrv.com. So you don't have to take notes on this. If you go over to our website and just type in, oh, what is that?
Driving posture.
Driving posture. You'll come up with a post that shows it all. But just in general, so some of the things you should do is just start with reclining your backrest to about 100 or 110 degrees.
Right. And the reason it's more than 90, it's not bolt upright.
Right.
Okay. And the reason it's more than 90 is you want it to be sort of a, we'll call it an obtuse angle. Ooh. You want it to be open, because a lot of these tips as we go through, they have to do with opening up your body so you're not all like hunched over, cramped,
right.
That kind of thing.
It has to do with circulation. So you're opening up your hips by having the seat back reclined a little bit. Your hips aren't going to be pinched off and you're going to have better blood flow through your legs.
The next things you're going to want to do are if your seat has a lumbar support, you're going to want to adjust that so that there's sort of even pressure all along your spine, so there's not, you know, like gaps where your spine is not supported.
Right. On your low back, if you're not feeling your seat, you should either adjust your seat or you can even add some sort of cushioning. There's a lot of aftermarket lumbar
support. Do you guys have a lumbar support pillow that you recommend in particular? It's always something that I've kind of played around with a little bit, the idea of maybe getting one.
Yeah.
I had one I used for a while, not with this RV. I find the seats in this RV pretty comfortable, the one we have now. But I had one that was kind of like this springy mesh thing. It wasn't a solid cushion.
Right. The one we had and that worked was from Bed Bath & Beyond. But it really depends on your seat. It's really good to be able to try out different ones and kind of know how much support you need. Some of them are more intense than others. And if you don't need a lot of support, you'd want to make sure you got a smaller version of one. So it's pretty, it just depends.
Guys, tell everybody what your RV again is, because you said, you have comfortable seats, and I'm sure about 1,000 people listening were just wondering, well, what kind of RV are they in?
Right. So we are currently in a Winnebago Travato, and that is based on the Ram ProMaster. So it's the Ram factory seats. I've recovered them with leather, but the mechanics of the seat are the same.
Yeah. So that's a camper van as well. It's a Class B camper van.
Yep. And
Yeah.
Yeah, they're the coolest of the cool kids. That's what that means. Let's just now moving.
Do you think that Ram ProMaster is more comfortable than the Ford Transit
or the Sprinter?
Or, I mean, do you not have such
interesting question?
Well, you know, our Sprinter that we had a Sprinter before that, but that was a 2003 Sprinter, so it's come a long way. And in fact, you know, the newest Sprinters coming out, they've got like 4-way adjustable lumbar support. So actually, you wouldn't need one.
We've actually sat in the 2020s and they are fabulous. So I'm not sure I would say one's more comfortable than the other. I guess it would probably be personal preference.
Yeah. Everybody's unique and you're going to find what works for you, but you do need to find it because, you know, you're going to be sitting there for a long time.
Yes. Right, now, you also have some tips about how to actually hold the steering wheel.
I am fascinated by this. I was like sneaking ahead looking in your notes again because I want you to really explain this to me because it looks important.
You're
important.
A cruncher, Jeremy. I'm paying attention
right now.
Oh, don't do that.
Well, you want to start by having your steering wheel kind of down and toward you. And if you think about that, that's because you don't want to stress your shoulders. So if you can get your elbows closer to your sides, that's less stressful on your shoulders. So the reason you're setting your steering wheel towards you and down is to take the strain off your shoulders. But there's more than that. There's also
you just blew my mind. I mean, I've been driving the wrong way for 23 years. No, I just totally don't do that. And it makes all the sense in the world what you just said, that I'm straining my shoulders for 8 hours of driving at a time.
Yep. And that's also why we recommend holding the steering wheel no higher than the 9-3 position. It's the same thing, getting your elbows closer to your sides. And
so whatever you do, don't do the thing that you know, I see a lot of people do, and that's driving with one hand on top of the wheel and, you know, the other hand wherever, you're doing the one-handed driving thing. That you're twisting your shoulder, you're reaching, you really shouldn't do that. It might look cool, but you shouldn't do it.
Symmetry is important. So I think that's what James is getting.
And you want the wheel closer to you physically? I mean, you want to move that chair up? Is that part of it, or is it more just where you're holding it?
You want the wheel physically closer because you want your elbows down. And, you know, a quick test, right, is pretend to put your hand on top of the wheel, like not like you're going to drive that way, but like you're doing one of the hand over hand turns, you know,
at the very top, at the 12 o'clock center position.
And you shouldn't have to pull your shoulder off the seat to reach to do that. You should be able to.
Oh my God. I'm going to go cry.
Jeremy's over here.
Seriously,
he's actually over here doing this.
I'm really so thankful that we had you on to talk about this.
And now how you adjust that, you know, it depends. Some vehicles you can move the steering wheel itself. Some vehicles your only option is to move the seat. So you're just going to have to kind of try to, whatever your vehicle is, figure out whatever works for you. The other big thing is if you've got like a big Costanza wallet especially, you just take that out of your pocket before you start driving. And I take my phone out of my pocket too.
Yeah, that adds extra strain on your spine because it kind of twists your pelvis funny. So you want to avoid that. Again, it's the symmetry thing. You want both sides of your body doing the same thing.
So even your phone in your front pocket, I mean, I believe you, even your phone in the front pocket, just in some almost subconscious way,
your
body is moving.
Yeah. Yep. You're so right. Yes.
Yeah, that's amazing. So this is why we have you guys on, because I think that this is not just your typical list of ways to stay healthier on a driving day. I mean, I think that this is almost like really micro, right? It's going to the core of our bodies and how we're actually holding our bodies so differently on a driving day. I mean, I have an Apple Watch and it is just remarkable the difference in my rings on a day that we're driving, you know? And I look at that and I'm just like, wow, this is such a different kind of a day for my body than it's used to. And things like this can just help us not get to a destination and kind of almost have to recover. I mean, this is a way to feel the best we can.
I'm just sitting here pretending to be holding the steering wheel on the top and just doing it for 30 seconds. I can feel how tense my shoulders are.
Yeah, and it's something we forget about because it's easy to drive along and we don't realize we could be doing damage just by the way we're holding ourselves. So it's something we like to share with people to really be mindful of your seat posture and how you set up your seat ahead of time.
Yeah, and like I said, if anyone didn't take notes, it is on our website. Just if you go to our website and search driving posture, don't look at my ratty slippers that I'm wearing in that picture because they're really old.
Now everyone is going to look at your ratty slippers.
Now we all have
and
to
we're
going to
link to that in our
we
show
will.
Notes.
We will. I will find so it. I will actually do the search for everybody and put visual. It on rbfta.com. Now, we are going to be back in a minute because we don't just kind of want to stay a little bit more healthy on the road tripping days. Obviously, we're going to get to the core of what I really struggle with because I'm super good about my fitness and my activity levels when I'm in my regular daily routine at home. And then I get on a longer vacation and it is so hard for me away from my routines and structure. So hopefully James and Steph can help me out a little.
There'll be one epiphany after another.
All right, stay tuned.
We have a little bit to say about that.
I'm sure you do. All right, stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for another great segment with James and Steph Adanero from the Fit RV. In the last segment, they talked about staying healthy while traveling. In this segment, they're going to help us stay active during the vacation or during the RV trip. And I know they're going to have some great tips. But before we do that, before we dive into that content, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts.
What makes the Jellystone Park different from any other campground out there? Well, it's the focus on family fun. And whether you are visiting in your RV, you're staying in a cabin, or pitching a tent, you're going to find amenities and activities that create camping experiences your family will never forget. And watch how I do this one, Jeremy. I have to tell you that there have been times that I have been embarrassingly sore after a day of playing at a Jellystone
kickball, little human foosball.
Yes. I'm telling you, a day at a Jellystone, if you are really playing with your kids and you're going down those water
Leslie
slides.
Will make you go down the water slides 100
or
times.
Playing those pickup basketball games, the next day you might feel it a little bit more than usual. So remember, it's not just a campground, it's a Jellystone, and now is the time to book for the summer season. So go to jellystonepark.com and make a reservation at a Jellystone Park.
I think
near
the Yogi
you.
Bear could do a few sessions.
Oh,
with
do you remember
James and
at
Steph?
At the Maryland Jellystone, they had calisthenics with Yogi in the morning and he did all the stretching and everything. That was so cute.
That was cute.
It was adorable.
But right? He does spend a little bit too much time in those picnic baskets.
All right. Yeah, we'll get to the food part of that whole thing later. But all right, James and Steph, welcome back to the show.
Hey, hey.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
There you go. He got his little boo-boo in. Yeah, for sure. All right, guys. I need this part. All right. You're going to give me my personal pep talk that's going to help me stay on track a little bit more when I'm away from my gym routines and my classes and all those things that really help me on a daily basis. So I don't think I'm alone in this. I think that a lot of people struggle to probably keep up their fitness routine on a 2-week RV trip.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And this comes down to our own preset habits that we have at home. And then we're on the road, we don't really have any habits. So it is harder. It's less on our mind since, again, it's that vacation.
Yeah, and a lot
mindset.
Of your habits that you have at home, if you always go to the same spin class or something, you just won't even have that opportunity on the road.
Right.
So
right.
What can we do about it?
Well, we always start way back at the trip planning. And the first thing we recommend to people is when you plan your trips, plan them around activities and not so much on the location.
Right. So think about this. Say you're chilling at home with your significant other, you're watching Netflix, and you know, you turn to them and you say, "Hey, I know, let's take the RV out this weekend." The next question is always, "Where should we go?" So what we're suggesting is you kind of turn that on its head, and instead of asking where should we go, ask what should we do?
Yes. So if the trip is built around physical activities, then you've got your exercise covered just off the bat.
Right. So instead of I don't know, let's go to the lake, you know, the trip planning would be, let's go kayaking this weekend.
Right. Or let's take the bikes and let's do this new bike trail.
Or let's go on a hike.
Right,
so
right.
By starting with that, you're planning the entire outing sort of around an activity.
Such a fit,
It is. But I feel this with us. Like, I feel like when we really set out on a trip and we're like, we're in the mood for a great hiking adventure, we make sure that it's a great hiking adventure. It's a mindset
something you
shift.
Think about at the last second, right. Like, oh, and by the way, maybe we should bring the kayaks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a big mindset shift.
You're going there to do that.
Right. And that makes it just very likely that you're going to get that activity in. Well, the next tip was going to be to pack fitness and active gear. And if you've planned your trip around an activity, I mean, the fact that you're going to pack a kayak or, you know, your hiking boots, that's a given. But we're talking about a little bit more here.
Yeah, like workout stuff. So I'm going to tell you what we bring in our camper van. We bring a set of resistance bands. We bring two yoga mats. Let's see what else. A jump rope. There's something else.
A TRX.
Oh, yeah, the TRX. Okay. TRX is it's suspension straps that you kind of hang in a tree and you can do body weight exercises with. And all those things are very travel friendly. They're light. They pack down small. And the reason we bring them is because it makes it more on our mind. You know, it's on the forefront of our mind, and we're more likely to use them if we took the time to pack them.
Right, especially in a camper van, you know. And Steph's right, that is honestly, and we're the Fit RV, and that's all we travel with. You don't have to bring a ton in order to get an effective workout.
But you guys recommended those resistance bands to us the first time you came on the show, and I got the very bag of them that you recommended. Years ago, and we traveled with them. We were in our White Hawk travel trailer, and I'm going to be completely honest with you about what happens, and it just shows whether something is out of sight, out of mind. When we traded in the White Hawk and we emptied it all out, that was one of the things that got put like in a pile of like, you know, RV stuff, and it never made it back into the toy hauler. And just because I always forget it and it's not, you know, in my mind right there. And I think every season, I had to get those resistance bands back in the toy hauler.
Do you guys keep
us? Really interesting. I wonder if that's a different mindset from camper vans, because in the camper van, we are so mindful of every little thing we take in there because we hardly have any space, and anything we bring becomes so precious and it has to be useful. But with you having such a bigger rig, you're not so worried about space as we are. And
oh,
so
gosh, we can throw everything in there, Steph.
Yeah.
Just pile it all in. And that's helped us with the activity because we can bring the bikes. And I love that. Like, I love even when we're going for a more relaxing, maybe beach vacation, the fact that we have our bikes, we do get on those bikes and ride them. Or, you know, and that really helps us a lot. The toy hauler's been key for us with kids to be able to bring that fun, active gear. But I think there is a difference between, I talked to you guys about this a while ago. There's a difference for me between being active and exercising, you know, and I still feel that's like true. I have to get in that more traditional workout when we travel to feel like I'm staying on top of my fitness game.
Well, really, you don't need any equipment to get a really good physical workout. And even on our website, I have a bunch of printable workout plans that are body weight only. And it's a one-page printable, and you can just print it out, stick it in the glove box, and you have it with you when you're traveling. And so that's another thing I recommend for RVers is come over to our website and print out some of my workout plans.
Yeah, especially the body weight ones. Because then if you do forget again and you leave your resistance bands in that pile, you've got at least something, and you just, you know, like it's a piece of paper. So
do you guys leave a set of these things in the Class B, or are you always on every trip moving them from the house to the Class B and then back into the house? Like, would you recommend to people to have a set
dedicated
of these dedicated here. Set of these fitness bands that they keep in the RV?
We move ours. And that's the resistance bands you have to wear. You don't want them getting like super hot baking in a vehicle.
Right.
You know,
I would recommend taking them out and just having one set in the house that you use and using that same set in the RV. Yeah, because of the temperature thing, the temperature extremes is hard on the bands.
Hard on the rubber, yeah.
Very good tip. Now, I love this next tip that you send us. I think that this psychologically could be a real winner for people. So what do you recommend people do in terms of setting goals for their activity?
Okay, and so we like to plan workouts weekly. So you pick a day at the beginning of the week, and you're going to make an activity to-do list. On that list, you're going to write down 6 activities that you'll do in the upcoming week. So an example could be, this week I will do 2 bike rides, 2 hikes, 1 body weight workout right at the campsite, and 1 resistance band workout. So you don't even really need to assign days to it. You're just listing the activities. And that gives you a little bit more flexibility in when you do those things.
I like how you gave him 1 day off. That was nice of you.
Oh, yeah. She's not us. She's so kind, right? No, but that's exactly what I do at home, because I'll do, like, I need to get to 1 yoga class. I need to get to 2 body pump classes. I need to, you know, then get my cardio in on the other days. So
that's how I do it at home.
Home, and I can't be
on
married.
Vacation, it's just like easy to not have a plan.
Yeah, because you're always like, oh, right. I'll go for a walk, or I don't know.
Well, there's been times, I'm ashamed to say it, there's times we've brought the kayaks places and then didn't use, I mean, we brought the kayaks to Nova Scotia and didn't go kayaking.
Well, it was cold.
It was cold, but if we had made it more right. of this intentional,
if it's an exercise, like I will get in 2 paddles, you know.
Who cares what the weather is? I'm going to do it.
It's a paddle. It's not, you know, it's not just a hobby. It becomes part of your fitness.
Yeah.
You know,
as you do your 6 activities throughout the week, you cross them off when each one is done. And, you know, everybody loves crossing things off their to-do list. It's such a satisfying feeling. So we kind of find motivation in this to-do list kind of weekly workout system. Yeah.
But the flexibility that you mentioned, Steph, is also really important, because let's face it, it's RV life. Stuff happens, you know? And you may find that on the day you had planned to go on a massive bike ride that it's raining,
mm-hmm,
or,
right.
you know, you couldn't get to the campground that you wanted to because, you know, for whatever reason, right? You need to keep some flexibility in there, mm-hmm, because if it's very rigid and you can't do it on Tuesday, then
it's a balance. So right. you want to be flexible, but you also want to be disciplined. So the to-do list itself is a disciplined way to set yourself up for the week, but yet it has some flexibility.
And if you get rained out, you're not excusing yourself. It's not like you're not just going to do it.
Oh, well, I can't
do
it
the next day.
Yeah, you're going to fit it in at some other time. That's the key, is you're not giving yourself a pass on it. I was going to go for a bike ride, but it's raining, so I guess I won't, you know.
Right.
You got to work it in. I think that psychologically, it might be a really good technique for me to try to take that same kind of mindset that I do for my classes at the gym and change it.
But we meal plan, so why
not?
Yeah,
it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And when we meal plan, that's a very interesting analogy, because when I meal plan, I don't say I have to, like, I'm bringing these meals and I have to make these steaks on Wednesday.
No, you meal plan exactly, like, the way they just described.
Right. Like, I'll say I've got steaks and I got chicken and I got Taco Tuesday, you know, like whatever, tacos. And whenever it's good to make that meal while we're traveling, we'll do it based on whether we want to grill, because it may or may not be raining. So really, in a way, it's the same type of thing.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, that was a great analogy comparing it to that.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of it.
Right. We're just pulling it all together here.
I love that. I think I'm going to use that.
Yes. I'm going to use it too in my mindset. I'm going to have my meal planning and my exercise planning, and we're going to see where that goes with there.
I'm blushing.
Well, oh yeah, Jeremy, thank you so much for just enlightening us all.
Anytime.
All right, now, well, speaking of food, we are going to come back in a minute, and we're going to talk about ways to not blow. And I don't want to, we're not talking about dieting here. When I say blow the diet, I kind of mean just healthy eating in general, right? Going off the rails when we go on vacation. Somebody once said, I saw a meme out there that was like, oh, if you're road tripping, it should look like, you know, a 9-year-old was given $40 at the 7-Eleven.
A lot of us have been guilty of that.
And exactly. I think that really rings true to how a lot of people treat, you know.
You know, like as adults, we start behaving like
the 9-year-old. Yeah. in the 7-Eleven
I may be guilty of that occasionally.
Combos for everybody.
We have suggestions for that.
All right.
We're excited to talk about that next.
All right. Well, stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for segment three with James and Steph from the Fit RV. And this show has been packed with health and fitness and travel epiphanies. And I think they've got a few more left in them. But before we dive into the third part of our interview, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford.
Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they have made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. And Thetford has also been making products that were specifically designed so that your RV stays safe and the products are also effective. From the AquaChem toss-ins to the AquaSoft toilet tissue, we feel confident that we're keeping our tanks safe and clean when we use the right products. Visit Thetford.com to see the complete line of awning cleaners, black streak and bug removers, wax and wash options, slide-out rubber seal conditioners.
They've got it all.
Everything, right? What else do you want? I don't know. What else do you want? You're the one who always takes care of the...
I want Thetford Smart Tote 27-gallon. Oh, no, I have
Wait,
that.
No, you have that. You have it all, please. Go to Thetford.com to see what you need, because Jeremy has it all. All right. Welcome back to the show, guys.
Hey.
Let's talk eating healthy.
All right.
Let's get really specific here.
Let's just, like, you know, warn our audience here, or, like, I'd rather encourage our audience. The reason why I love having Steph and James on to talk about these things is they're not super didactic. They're, like, you know, they're not going to sit here and be like, you have to eat like this. I think that they're very lifestyle oriented. And I do appreciate, you know, that about you guys.
We try to be real people.
Right. I could imagine you having a treat every once in a while.
Yes, we absolutely do. And we recommend other people should have treats too. You know, life's too short to not have treats, to not have dessert. And so we kind of have a more flexible yet disciplined mindset when it comes to healthy eating.
Moderation in all things, including healthy eating.
And it sounds like that when you're on an RV trip, it sounds like you make the eating and eating healthy, but you make it fun, just kind of like you do with the road tripping. So let's dive in and talk about ways that you eat healthy while you're traveling and how you kind of make it part of the travel and part of the fun.
Yeah, you're right. We like to do that. We get adventurous with our food. You know, we're on vacation. We're in this new and novel adventure. And so we recommend getting adventurous with your food, too. So that could mean...
Well, like seeking out, local farm stands.
Yeah.
Stuff that's only available in the area that you are RVing to. That's a huge one. We like to do that, especially if we go up to Seattle to go to
local seafood markets, or even seeking out farm-to-table restaurants that are using local foods. There's just something so special about eating local fare, and where you can only have it because you happen to be vacationing in that area.
Yeah, especially if it's something that's only there for, like, you know, a limited time during its harvest or whatever. You know, the only way you're able to get that ever is if you are right there at that time. It makes it kind of cool.
I think that this is so important, and it's something that we've done with our kids. I think I love food. I really do. And I love good food. And I realized a couple years ago that my boys had a sense that certain foods were from certain places at certain times because of how much we had traveled with them. And they got that you, like, looked for great lobster rolls in Maine and you ate, you know, hush puppies in the South. And, you know, they just looked forward to enjoying the delicacies of that area. And it's interesting that kind of thing, you can be a healthy eater and enjoy good food. And it almost, like, they go hand in hand because you're appreciating the food, not just like Steph was talking about before, like mindlessly putting it in your mouth while you're sitting in front of the TV.
Yes.
Right. And you know, generally speaking, if you get food closer to the source, right, there's less processing that goes into the food. It's just better food for you. So
now you talked about eating out and going to some of these farm to table restaurants. I'm sorry, I just have to ask, do you guys do a lot of cooking inside the Class B? Are you cooking outside of the Class B? When you guys are traveling, are you looking to eat out a lot? I mean, what does it look like for you guys?
Well, we do a little of both. Obviously, in a Class B, you know, there's a lot more space if you're willing to grill and cook outside. And so we do our fair share of that. So there's grilling. Inside, we tend to go for simpler things.
Right. We only have one burner on our cooktop. Mm-hmm. And so it's usually one burner dishes that we make when we're in the RV. And we have a lot of recipes that we go to just when we're on vacation. We save them because they're special and it's something that we love. And so it's another thing to look forward to on vacation.
Right. And if those recipes are a little bit healthy, so much the better, right?
Right. But
because then it's actually something you're looking forward to, yet it's a healthy dish.
Mm-hmm. So. Do the limitations of like a Class B kitchen actually help you make healthier decisions in a weird way in terms of just – you know, not having four burners to cook on at once?
Keeping it simple, right?
So what it does for me is it puts an increased emphasis on planning ahead.
Right.
Because you don't have a lot of room to, like, you know, mince garlic and then, you know, store that and then, you know, shred some ginger and then store that. There's things like that that you kind of have to do. You have to think about it and do them ahead of time. And if you're planning, you're probably planning a little bit better than you would if you were spur of the moment just throwing something together. At least that's my take.
Right. And I think that goes with what you buy at the store as well in a Class B van. You're going to be much more mindful about what you're bringing. You're going to bring the basics and the necessities because you don't have a lot of storage for your food.
So right. And with a limited fridge space, you know, you're wanting to turn over, you know, your produce and that sort of thing more frequently. So that also kind of nudges you towards consuming, you know, more of the fresh fruits and vegetables because you want to keep them moving through the fridge.
Right.
Well, and you recommend being a little bit adventurous with the fresh fruits and vegetables, right? Which I love that idea.
Yeah. And I think this goes along with the idea of finding local foods, but also find fruits and veggies that maybe you don't even know what they are. If you're at a local farm stand, you see something you don't recognize, well, buy it and look it up and find a recipe for it and be adventurous. And
that could go one of two ways.
Yeah.
But, you know, you never know until you try, right? Maybe you'll find something that you absolutely love.
So yeah, or you could just find giant, excellent portobello mushrooms somewhere,
yeah.
and it becomes a new thing for
you. There you go.
Right. And I think that can happen when we all know with kids, if you let them try things that they see at places like, oh, today, I mean, this isn't fruits and vegetables, but we were out shopping and the boys sampled a cheese that was actually kind of a little bit outside of the box. And they were like, we love this. Can we get it? And I was like, absolutely.
And we came home with pomegranate juice.
Which I wasn't thrilled about. But the boys were like, it's healthy. And I'm like, no, a pomegranate is healthy. But the thing is that I feel like I'm expanding their relationship with food when I say, okay, yeah, you like that? Like, you like the taste of that cheese? Sure, we can bring it home and enjoy it together tonight with dinner. Like, it feels like they're expanding their palates that way.
Yeah, it sounds like you're instilling a sense of adventure in them about food, and that's fantastic. That's something they'll take with them.
Two of my three. I don't want to sound braggy.
Yeah, the other one's on a 5-year hunger strike. In between desserts, he's on hunger strike. You guys mentioned grilling, and it's a major hobby of mine. And I'm just wondering, like, do you keep the meat portions low and do a lot of grilling of veggies and things like that? Or are you doing pretty traditional grilling like everybody else is at the campground, but just kind of being smart about proportions and things like that?
Well, we have to be smart about proportions because the grill we're traveling with lately is a flat pack mini and
very small.
Very small. So it's I don't know, maybe 6 charcoal briquettes, I think, would fill the thing up. So
yeah, and on that one we tend to do a protein, a piece of fish or a piece of chicken, and then we do our veggies inside.
You keep coming back to this. This is brilliant though. Being in the smaller B and having some of these smaller things could really lead to you eating less.
Smaller RV, smaller food portion.
We're in a 34-foot toy hauler. I can bring all the food I want, and maybe that's a problem, you know?
Don't think we're not envious of you when we see you set up at camp.
Right.
All the stuff.
We're envious at camp.
And then I'm envious of watching you back into some cute little site
I
can't get into.
I know. They're sporty. The sporty Class B, right? Now, you guys do some portioning out ahead of time to help both make sure that you have the healthy snacks and that you save room, right?
Yeah, I have a salty nut problem.
Don't sit down with a whole bag of nuts. You've got to portion them out ahead of time so you won't do that mindless overeating. And
so Steph does the portioning of the salty nuts because my portions would look like an entire bag.
Okay, so she counts out the almonds and stuff for you.
Do you count James's almonds? That's adorable.
I use a tablespoon and I do two scoops, like a rounded scoops of tape.
All right. Well, if we all had Steph portioning out our salty snacks for us, maybe we'd be in better shape, but we all can't be so lucky. So.
But we also recommend making your portable snacks ahead of time. And we have a lot of recipes on our website of travel-friendly snacks you can make that are also tasty. And when you have these little portion snack bags on road trips, you're less likely to stop at the gas station and load up on junk food if you've made your own.
Oh, no, that's 100% true, because I find that we eat really healthy at the beginning of a trip, like on our road trip somewhere. And then what happens is by the time we're coming home, we've run out.
That's true. I've never even really thought
and
of it that way.
And we end up like relying on more of the gas station snacks because we've run out of everything, because my boys are like, you know, vacuums when it comes to food. So right. That is completely true. If you have the good snacks on hand, it makes right. all of the difference.
Right. And we even have some that we only make and take in the RV. So again, it's that, you know, they're healthy, like something like beet chips, right? Which mm-hmm. sounds weird, but I love them. And we've only ever made them to take in the RV. I don't get them at home. And so, you know, it's kind of a cool thing right. that I get to have these in the RV.
Right. Vacation should be special, and the food that you eat on vacation should be special too. So
go ahead now and give us permission to eat dessert.
Okay, I will. It's actually totally okay if you eat dessert. So here's the thing. We need to stop labeling specific foods as either good or bad. I mean, yes, some foods are better for us, and no one single food should either be vilified or deified. So, you know, you want to stop ascribing moral qualities to foods. It gives them way too much power, and it sets us up for unhealthy relationships with food, and which affects our own self-value. So I guess
eating junk food doesn't make you a bad person.
Right. So in other words, you end up going to the spiral of like feeling bad about yourself instead of wanting to make good choices because you know yeah. how it makes you feel better.
Right. We shouldn't beat ourselves up for what we're eating, whether it's on vacation or any time.
Right.
So we need to relax a little. Basically, that's what I'm getting at. To keep a healthy relationship with food, we need to balance relaxation and discipline. Here we are back to that relaxing a little, but yet also staying
so you're just
disciplined.
Like, mm-hmm. like creating or maintaining a healthy relationship with food is like maintaining a healthy relationship with your family. Sometimes you got to let in crazy Uncle Theodore, you know.
Everybody's got a crazy uncle.
Crazy uncle is the dessert.
Yeah.
So,
well,
what is that for you guys? I want to know.
Yeah. Like, what do you enjoy for a treat?
If you want a little treat, you've been exercising all week, you've been doing good, and you want dessert. What is it that you guys got?
I would say it's probably those yogurt bars we get sometimes, those Yasso bars, or that's probably not enough of a treat.
I was going to say, Steph, you got to say something like a little okay. more well, treaty, because people just rolled their eyes.
Stephanie wants to hear like, yeah, we do a gallon of Ben and Jerry's.
No. For me, because that's not for me. It's like popcorn or, you know, I'm like James. I love salty snacks. And so for me, it is, or like nachos.
You're speaking my language. I can't get enough salt.
Yeah.
I think for my favorite dessert is that creme brulee, that topping on creme brulee. So if I was on vacation and I went to a nice restaurant, I would get the creme brulee and I would eat every last bit of it because I love that stuff.
All right. Well, Steph, if I get a chance in Salt Lake City, I'm going to buy you a creme brulee.
But before we let you guys go, you guys have traveled so extensively and we've loved, you know, following your travels over the years. Where's a one or two great foodie destinations that you like? When you talk about getting local food and tasting local things, I mean, where do you like to go for a trip that does have some really special food?
You know, when you asked me that just now, the first thing that popped in my mind was Austin, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Foodie heaven there.
It
we
is.
Had so many great dishes at restaurants and yeah. even
food trucks. Food trucks there in Austin were pretty
right.
special.
They've got that wonderful Whole Foods there downtown.
It's like Whole Foods mothership.
Yeah, there's like seven restaurants right in that Whole Foods or something crazy.
Austin's good. If I had to pick one, I would pick like Seattle, the Pacific Northwest, or even Vancouver. There's lots of seafood up there that's super fresh, and you know, Vancouver in particular has got tons of.
We loved Pike Place.
We had our whole family had. We ate our way through Seattle, but I'll never forget. Like just speaking of those like local foods, and I had ordered clams, and for some reason my boys were feeling they wanted my clams because of course they just want anything that mom has, right? And yeah. It was there in Seattle that they fell head over heels in love with clams, and they just crave them and they look forward to having them at places now.
Pacific
and everything
Northwest and, was our best trip ever.
Yeah, it was
can't,
a lot of fun.
Can't wait to go back.
Good
guys
times.
Tell everyone where they can find you every
all of the
all
stuff
of
that
the,
we talked about
all
today.
Of the places, don't forget anything.
Okay. So, you know, our main website is thefitrv.com.
Yep.
And on there, there's a search function. And you can just search for any of the things you said, like the driving posture,
right.
You know, road rest, you know, rest stop recharge, that kind of thing.
Workouts. We have recipes on the website. And we also have RV tips for keeping your RV fit. That's the other side of our website. Cool. But beyond that, we also have a Facebook, which is The Fit RV, Instagram, The Fit RV.
And YouTube. We have a lot of.
You guys have tons of yes. tons of great content.
Yeah. And your YouTube
if
videos.
You were only YouTube,
favorites.
You'd be rock stars.
Yes, they are. They're complete rock stars.
How long have we been doing content as the Fit RV? How long has it been for you guys?
I think we started in 2012 or 13, somewhere right around the turn of that year.
So we're talking, you know, for our listeners, we're talking a website with probably dozens, if not hundreds, of blog posts, dozens of YouTube videos. I mean, there's a whole world of content out there to check out. And it's not just the healthy eating stuff. It's also a lot of great RV content. I'll always remember James's video about angry RV names.
Names. That was one of our
An all-time.
Favorite video that we've ever done.
Oh,
so
my
much
gosh.
Fun.
And your black tank, your work in the black tank has been excellent as well.
Your work in the field of black tanks. All right, guys, well, we can't wait. We're already looking forward to the next
Stephanie,
time that we have you back on.
I don't
on.
Want to wait a year to have them back on the show. Again.
I know, but they're busy. They're busy people, and I hate to,
we
you know.
Come back. It's such a pleasure talking to you, too. We always love when we can chat with you guys.
Thank
you so much for having us on your show.
Yeah, we're not too busy for you.
Oh, well, good. Well, now that you said it,
the
fine.
Record for one guest is 4 visits, I think. So the next time you're on, you will tie the record. So,
yeah. Ooh, well, now I'm really motivated. I love to beat records. So.
Yeah. Like, yes. All right, let's do it. Let's
they're
not wait so
motivated
long.
By goals. All right, guys, we will see you very soon.
All right, thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Great talking to you.
Welcome back to the show, everybody, and a huge thank you to Steph and James from The Fit RV. I love having them on the show, and I think one of my favorite things about doing this podcast over the last 4 years or so is being able to interview people like that are so inspiring. So now it's time for our RVFTA News Roundup, and Stephanie has a bunch of really cool resources she wants to share. But before we do that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco.
Take the ride of your life in Jayco's 2019 Precept Class A Motorhome. Luxurious and comfortable, the Precept features plush seating, a well-equipped kitchen, and Jayco's exclusive J-Ride Plus package for a smooth ride. Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
What kind of resources you got?
Well, okay. Well, first of all, we have one more RV show this year. Springfield, Illinois. We're coming for you.
And we've done like 10 this year.
Yeah, I think we're at 9.
9 or 10.
Yeah, rounding up.
I want to thank every single podcast listener who came out and said hello. It makes our day to meet people that listen to the show. And I really sincerely mean that. It was really nice meeting all of you. And thank you for coming up and chatting.
Y'all are a good crowd. Absolutely. And then when I was thinking about the fact that it was our last RV show, I wanted to mention to everybody, I think we mentioned it one other time, but we have a page that's kind of hidden on our website because I made it for the RV shows, full of just links that we mention in a variety of our different seminars. So if you go to rvfta.com, truma.com/resources.
I called it our secret page.
Okay.
Because you can't get to it directly from the main page. It really is a secret hidden page, but it's packed with resources.
Right. Like I compiled a lot of different links that we just mentioned. So you can go there and scroll down and find some new stuff maybe that you didn't know was there on our website. And then also some other stuff that you may not know is on our website, just if you haven't been hanging around that long, is we have a complete RV stock up list. And a lot of people are, buying RVs right now. This is RV shopping season. So if you have a new RV, we really made a complete stock up list. And of course, you don't need everything on there, but it's a list of everything you might need.
You set it up perfectly, though. You had sort of like the must haves and then like the want to haves.
Nice to haves.
Yeah, that's how you set it up. Sorry, must haves and nice to haves, which is great because there's like the beginner startup list there and like the more advanced one.
Yeah, like you can just pick and choose and what your budget allows for at a time, or you can say, oh, well, that's nice. Maybe we'll get that later. But then there's also stuff on there that you don't find in a lot of other stock up lists, like first aid, pet stuff. So it's just kind of all of our experience compiled there. And you can get that at rvfta.com/subscribe-here. All right. Cause that's our, typically that's like our email opt-in, you know, so people go there to sign up for our email list and you get the free PDF.
You can also get there from rvfta.com/resources, right? You can get to that.
Probably there's that link on there.
There's a bunch of free PDFs on that resources page.
So yeah, we've got a weekend packing list for the weekend warriors out there, and it's my really minimalist weekend packing. We can pack our clothes for a weekend in 10 minutes flat in this house, and so it just has the packing cubes on there and then what we put in the packing cubes. We also have a departure checklist that we made last summer for an episode on making sure that your home is safe when you go, you know, away on a trip.
Longer trips, those week-long trips.
So we made a departure checklist based on one of our mini podcasts that we did. So that's just some other stuff that's out there that you might want to check out, and you can visit it all on the resources page.
So just a reminder to everybody that the last RV show where you can catch us this season is Springfield, Illinois, and Stephanie will be there. She's really excited to go out and do this last show and to meet anybody who wants to come out and say hello to us.
Yeah, go to gsevents.com and you can find all of the information for all the GS Media RV shows.
And we've fine-tuned the seminars. Right.
I mean, you're
hypothetically, you're Illinois people, Springfield people, you're going to be getting the best possible versions of the seminars because we fine tune them. Or the other way to look is like we're burnt out and
we're
exhausted
like, blah, blah,
and bored
blah.
With them. And it's like blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah, RV maintenance, blah, 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 blah. Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed and hope. Bring our game.
I went on a 10-minute like spiel about like cleaning your awning at one of the shows. And everybody was like really interested.
Were they really interested?
Yeah.
And or they were like, maybe if we look really interested, he'll wrap it up and let us go
shop.
And then
the big ridiculous punchline for the whole thing was that you really shouldn't care that much about clearing your awning because it's a losing battle.
Yeah, so I spent 10 minutes to tell you that. All right, so now I know how it goes with Jeremy.
I told everybody
RV
how
shows.
To do it, and I was like, and by the way, it's not going to matter that much.
All right, well, hopefully we will see you at the RV show, and if we don't, we'll see you at the campground.
Spring is around the corner. We'll see you at the campground.